All right. Do we have some people who are new to the call that just came on before we get started here? Okay. John Tuscher, thank you for being our guest today. Very pleased that you were able to participate on the call and happy to have you as our guest.
You're very welcome.
It's just wonderful that Fort Collins has moved ahead with a no-smoking policy. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what motivated the Fort Collins Housing Authority to move ahead and make all its units non-smoking?
Okay, sure. I thought maybe first I'd just give you kind of a snapshot of what we have. So we have a total of 716 units under three different programs. We have some public housing units, some tax credit properties, and then we have a nonprofit program that we run locally. So they range in size from a single-room occupancy unit, where you just get a room basically and you share the other facilities all the way up. Our largest property is a 95-unit apartment building. We were motivated by a lot of the reasons that you see published in the literature. Over the years, we've had a lot of complaints from tenants about smoking. And it's very difficult to do anything legally about that if you allow smoking in your units. We've had a couple of minor fires one of them was caused by a person who was on oxygen who kept smoking, which is really difficult to deal with. You know, it's definitely a hazard. But if you allow smoking legally, it's harder to deal with. We were fortunate that the units were sprinklered, so it was a fairly minor fire, but it could have been much worse. It's, you know, our maintenance department, there's a lot of damage to units with heavy smokers. I've certainly been in units myself that were just pretty much, you know, a dull yellow color from someone who's a very heavy smoker. Takes a long time to turn those units over. Just to repaint is a major undertaking. So it's very costly. And the funds for a lot of our units are very limited. So that money can be better spent on improving things for the tenants rather than repairing damage from smokers, really. And, of course, the concern about the health of our tenants. Low-income tenants probably don't have as many choices as other tenants might. If you're just renting a market-rate unit and you have enough money and you're unhappy, you can move on. You know, you can go find another unit. But people in public housing probably don't have that choice. They're stuck where they're at. So if they're suffering the health consequences of living next to a heavy smoker or something, they don't really have a choice to move somewhere else. So I think our executive director has been very proactive on this. We probably started talking about this 8 years ago or so, where she came to our property managers and asked, you know, would you be interested in creating some smoke-free units? Would this help in renting? Would this help with all the complaints and the concerns that other tenants have? And when we finally decided to do this and started talking to our board of commissioners, they were very supportive. So those are basically the reasons why we wanted to go smoke-free.
Great. So then what are some of the steps you took in the process, and what resources were the most helpful to you?
Well, we did it for some of our public housing units. So those probably have the most restrictive requirements as far as changing leases, changing our administrative plan. So there were certain steps we had to take because we're required to take. So we first took it to our board of commissioners, discussed with it the idea with them, got their approval to proceed with doing this. After that, we developed a policy and also a lease addendum. We sent that to our attorney to review and make any revisions he thought were necessary. After that, we mailed a copy to every tenant, and we also posted it for public comment. So we wanted to give all of our tenants a lot of notice before we went ahead and did this. So we gave every one of them a copy of the changes to our no smoking, to our admin plan. We gave them a copy of our no smoking policy, smoke-free policy, and we gave them a copy of our smoke-free lease addendum. You know, they were proposed at that time. So they could turn in any comments they had to us, and we would take them back to our board. After the notice period passed, we then took it to our board with any comments we had, and we got it approved by them. Even after that, we have given people a long notice time. The last of our units are becoming smoke-free this summer, and we started this 2 years ago, I believe. So we gave most people a year and a half lead time before the unit went smoke-free. We did grandfather people in for 1 year, basically. So we gave them a year before their lease addendum kicked in and their unit was going to be smoke-free. There are a tremendous amount of good resources out there. There's several different websites that were very useful. You'll probably have to help me with this. The Michigan Smoke-Free Law Project,
right.
I don't know if that's the correct name, but they had some good literature. There's a website in the Northwest, I don't know if it's Oregon or Washington, that had a tremendous amount of good information that I was able to look at and use. We got forms from other housing authorities showing that had done this before us, and just copies of their policy, of their admin plan, of their lease addendum that we could adopt for our own use. We belong to an association called the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, and they have had classes. They have different meetings during the year. So they have a state conference. They have a regional conference. They have several national conferences where they have had sessions on creating smoke-free housing. So that was a good source for us. The local health department was a great help. They gave us smoking cessation information, you know, the toll-free number. They gave us brochures to send to the tenants to give them information. They gave us signs to post for smoke-free housing. And they have helped us with some strategies for dealing with tenants who continue to smoke and things. So I think there's really a tremendous amount of help out there. You just have to kind of go and look for it, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about the Board of Commissioners. Is this a board appointed by the City Council that oversees the Fort Collins Housing Authority?
It is, exactly. Our board is appointed by the City Council, and then they hire the executive director, and they oversee just the general policy issues for the housing authority.
Do you have to get their approval to make any changes, or is it just more of a, is it almost like a council that they have to approve things for you to move ahead with them?
For this type of change, yes, we would have to get their approval because we had to change our administrative plan for public housing. And we also wanted them on board. You know, we wanted their approval. We wanted them involved in the decision-making process. So for a change this major, yes, we would have to get their approval.
Well, once they approve it, they don't have to get approval by the council as well, or
no. We're not a division of the city, so just our board is. There is a council member on our board of commissioners.
Oh, okay.
So that, she's the liaison for the city council, basically. But we didn't need city council approval to do this.
Okay, I kind of figured that, but I think that it might be good information for some of the people on the call. So what have been some of the challenges and reactions to the policy since you've implemented it?
Well, I think overall it's been very positive. There were a few angry tenants, people who have smoked for a number of years. Surprisingly enough, a few of the most angry ones have actually quit smoking, so that was kind of a positive thing. We did have one tenant who refused to quit smoking, and he went to legal services for help. But that turned out well. You know, we had a hearing. There's a grievance procedure for public housing that we have to follow. So people basically have a right to a hearing at the housing authority before a neutral hearing officer. But by the time we got to the hearing, the tenant involved had already agreed that he was going to stop smoking in his unit. So he didn't try to contest our right to do this at that point. He just agreed that he would go outside to smoke from that point on. And he asked us, he was disabled, so he asked us if we would move him to a first floor unit so he could more easily get outside, which we did. I think enforcement is probably the major issue. Trying to simply find the people who are still smoking, you pretty much have to rely on the reports of other tenants, and then you have to kind of try to gather enough evidence to send out a notice to those tenants. We haven't had to do too many notices yet, just a few. So we haven't actually had to go to court yet on any enforcement actions. I think another issue for us is just what to do with the really bad units where people are no longer smoking. I guess I would prefer that we went in and repainted and fixed them up so we could tell more easily if someone is smoking in those units still, but we've had a little bit of resistance from maintenance because it's very costly and it's also time intensive, so we haven't quite gotten there yet.
Sounds good. Now, in public housing, if I'm correct, you're not allowed to fine people for violating a policy, but there is a, you know, a process of if they continue to violate the policy, they can eventually be evicted. Am I correct?
That's correct, yes. Like I said, there is a grievance procedure, so there's a couple of steps before you actually get to eviction. They're entitled to a hearing here at the housing authority first.
Now, are you allowed to collect? I mean, if you do evict them, are you allowed to collect for damages to the property because of the smoking, or is that not allowed either?
No, we are allowed to do that. What we do is we publish a list of charges every year, you know, what it's going to cost. And usually what our maintenance department does for, like, painting, for instance, they prorate it for 5 years. So if someone moves out after 5 years, they would probably not be charged for new paint. But if they're only in there a year and the maintenance department has to go in and prime it and seal it and do, you know, two or three coats of paint, then they would be charged, yes.
what about other damage like burns to the carpet or you know, again, you mentioned that you've seen units that are, like, you know, totally yellow all over the place. You know, sometimes trying to get all that out can be quite expensive.
It is, yes. We're allowed to charge for that. As long as it's not routine wear and tear, we're allowed to charge. Now, of course, the chances of collecting that from someone who, you know, perhaps makes $200 a month is not very good, but we're still allowed to charge for it.
Okay. And then my last question to you is, how can local health departments and health groups best assist in the process of helping public housing authorities implement no smoking policies and also partner with public housing authorities?
Well, I think we've had a lot of help from our local health department, certainly getting information out to tenants on quitting smoking is very useful. Maybe if you're a housing authority with some large developments, some public meetings might be helpful to get people prepared for this, to educate them on the risks to other tenants, you know, of secondhand smoke, and brochures. The brochures we got were certainly helpful. We were able to send those out to tenants. It's useful to let tenants know, you know, there's no constitutional right to smoke, and housing authorities are not violating their civil rights by implementing a smoke-free policy. We were helped with, you know, the no smoking signs for our properties and things like that. Those are all very useful to us.
Do you have any suggestions? I mean, there's a lot of housing authorities across Colorado, I think something like 100 or so, and even though 14 of them have implemented or are phasing in these policies, there's a lot of them that won't touch it with a 10-foot pole just yet. So is there anything that you suggest that would help us move more of them towards at least trying it, at least in a few of their buildings?
One thing you could point out, HUD's recent notice encouraging housing authorities to create smoke-free housing. I think as time goes by, it will probably get pushed more to create smoke-free housing for public housing authorities. There's certainly a lot of emphasis now on green housing and the environment, and I think smoke-free housing certainly fits in with that somewhere. So, and maybe just letting them know all the resources that are out there and that they don't have to start from scratch, that there are other housing authorities, you know, that can help them with this or give them advice.
Great. And I want to thank you personally as well. John's been one of our peer reviewers for our the landlord guide that we are now working on, so I appreciate his input on that. So let's go ahead and open it up for any questions. Once again, please remember to announce your name and what department you're with as well. Are there any questions for John? And don't forget, if you've muted your phone, it's *7 to unmute.
Hi, this is Susan Sokobiak, and I'm again with Jefferson Public Health, and I want to thank you, John, for the information that you shared with us, and congratulations for doing this. I mean, this is terrific that this is going on and can use that as a model. Two questions that I have in terms of, now you were talking about in terms of some of the resources that you had used and the HUD notice letter that HUD had issued saying, you know, encouraging this activity. I'm wondering if there's limited time in terms of meeting with either a housing authority or property managers, and you just have a short little time span to meet with them. What is there anything that really sticks in your mind that was very compelling in terms of a document or a PowerPoint or anything that was used that you thought really triggered something?
I mentioned that at Northwest, and I'm not getting the label right, but there's a website. It's like the Northwest Smoke-Free Housing Project,
yeah.
Or
Be Smoke-Free Oregon.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. They had some tremendously good information there, just about the positive aspects of going smoke-free. You know, but I think also our local health department had a lot of that information also. Just how, you know, there's no minimum threshold for exposure to secondhand smoke, and the risk of fires is so much greater, and the damage to the units, and how you're far more likely to be sued by someone who's disabled and being damaged by secondhand smoke than you are by a smoker who has been told he can't smoke. And
okay.
Information like that was very compelling.
Okay, good. Thank you.
John, this is Bryce Kybers over in Weld County, and some of the conversations I've had with our housing authority folks, that time and other priorities are paramount to them. What would be some of your suggestions for me working with them and trying to get this to move forward, and maybe from a time perspective, how much time would you say that you or your staff would use dealing with complaints from people to kind of offset, well, you know, we have people who are dealing drugs, or we have people who are using drugs in our apartments, and that's our main priority, versus people who are smoking. And so that's one of the complaints, that or one of the excuses that I've received from our housing authority on not addressing smoke-free housing at this point.
Okay. Well, I think it's easier to deal with complaints about, you know, people using illegal drugs or something like that, because it is illegal, whereas it's very difficult to deal with complaints about smoking, because if you allow it, there isn't a whole lot you can do, so there's no enforcement mechanism in place. And I think some of the most frustrating complaints that we got were about smoking, because you basically have to tell people, well, there's nothing we can really do to help you, you know. That's difficult. And as far as health hazards, I would think secondhand smoke, because it's allowed and it's legal in your units, would be probably a bigger health hazard than having a few units where people are using illegal drugs. I don't know. That's just my opinion, I guess. But.
Yeah, that's my thought, too. Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, John. This is Jan up at the Lumber Health Department. Thanks for all that you guys are doing.
Sure.
And I just wanted to let you know that in our area, I think once Loveland Housing Authority and others like Neighbor to Neighbor heard that Fort Collins Housing Authority was setting this policy, it gave a lot of momentum to our area and even to people needing public housing. When I did presentations in Loveland, clients would say, well, I guess I'll have to move to Fort Collins. And I would say, well, Fort Collins has set this policy too. So anyway, you guys starting this out has given a lot of momentum to smoke-free housing in the county. And Neighbor to Neighbor has decided they do want to set a policy. That's another organization, for those who don't know, in our area that does affordable housing. So working on this, and you guys being the leader, has given this a lot of momentum in our area.
Okay. Good to hear.
Yeah, and I just wonder if you have any thoughts about how we can use success and smoke-free policies in housing in the community, kind of on larger issues, to educate the public, other boards of commissions, and just how to build on that success as we move forward with other policies that may or may not be housing related.
Boy. I don't know if I have any relevant thoughts on that. I hadn't really thought about that. Could you maybe describe some of the other issues you're thinking of? Or?
Well, I think part of smoke-free housing ties in closely to the Colorado Clean Indoor Air Act, and many health departments will be working on strengthening that. So I think an example might be where we can say to the leaders of our community, look, we have smoke-free housing policies, we have a local ordinance, we have a tobacco-free schools law, and the norm in our community is for more and more smoke-free environments. So I just think of anything like that. And I also think with the county commissioner on your board, you know, kind of getting her as an advocate for other causes. So those were just some of my thoughts. I don't know if you had others.
No, you know, I have noticed there are a few California communities that are considering making all rental housing smoke-free.
Right.
So, I mean, there may be communities that go before us. That's always useful to know it can be done, and other communities have done it, because you don't have to invent the wheel, you know. I guess that's the only thought I have on that.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
John, this is John Young in Denver, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi. Here's my question. I'm wondering, are you open to being a direct resource? Meaning, if I have other housing authorities or whatever who want to talk to somebody who's actually in the business so they can get the download that they think I may not be telling them, is it possible on a limited basis I could put your name out there?
Oh, sure. I've already done that, like with, I think with Boulder, City of Boulder Housing Authority. You know, I've sent them copies of some of our forms and things like that.
And John's been a great resource to our organization as well. I've asked him a number of, you know, just by email, a number of questions, and he's very quick to respond. So I really appreciate his feedback. And he's always been open to that as well. And I'm sure if he's too busy to answer or if he's got something pressing, he'll let you know.
It's kind of hard to say no, because I borrowed most of our stuff from someone else anyway. So,
yeah, I think, though, you know, I think John Young makes a good point that, you know, if it comes from you, they're more likely to listen to you than most of us. I think that having you as a resource is great. Are there any more questions? I want to be respectful of John's time. And so if there's any more questions, anybody? Okay. Well, John, thank you again for taking the time out to be with us. I mean, if you want to continue to be on the call, you're welcome to. The rest of the call, what we do on this call is the health departments go around and everybody updates each other on what they're doing, any questions they may have. You're welcome to stay, but if you have other things to do, you don't need to hang on.
Okay, I do have some other appointments, so it was nice to talk to you all.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. All right, everybody, I'm going to stop the recording now, and then we'll get started with our updates. Thank you again, John.
Thank you. Please stand by.